Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, as writing to this young gospel preacher, he said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce makers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Then he talks about two individuals, Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses. "So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Understand that Paul is writing about some things that are not really that much parallel to some things that we're experiencing in this present pandemic, as they're describing it. But he begins by saying that perilous times shall come. And it seems to me that at this point in time, we are now living in perilous times. I titled my study this morning, "Faithfulness in Hard Places," and based it on this statement that Paul made there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're living in perilous times. Obviously, men have lived in perilous times before now and have remained faithful unto the Lord. We noted some things regarding this in our study last week. We're facing many disturbing things in life. Many that are common to every age, as we dealt with to some degree last week. Sickness, death, natural disasters. There's so many things that we face on a regular basis. Job said in Job chapter 14 and verse 1, "Man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." The things that we experience affect us in a lot of different ways. Some cause anxiety and fear. Others cause depression, as we noted last week. Our age has been called the age of anxiety and the age of neuroses. Christians can indeed be affected. We can murmur, we can complain, and sometimes we can simply exist in a state of joylessness. As we study today, I want to look at some examples that I believe will be of benefit to us to help us to remain faithful as we deal with the uncertainties of the next few weeks or maybe months. And certainly there are uncertainties that exist even beyond this pandemic that we are now experiencing. There's always been things that have affected us in various different ways. And so we need to be prepared for those things that assail us from a physical perspective. I want to remind you, first of all, that Noah remained faithful in a godless world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter said, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." A flood came on the world because of the ungodliness that existed. You'll notice the kind of civilization that existed during Noah's day. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the text said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually." You think about that for a moment. Man could not even think about anything that was good. His thoughts were evil continually. Wickedness was great. But during this time, Noah preached righteousness for somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 years while the ark was preparing. Remember, Peter referred to him as a preacher of righteousness. Now, whether Noah actually got on a pulpit and spoke to the crowds that would gather there or not, we don't really know. It may very well be that the preaching that Noah did was simply through his actions, what he did. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. The Hebrews writer said, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of this house. And so it may just be the actions that Noah engaged in that is being referred to as his being a preacher of righteousness. What we learn from this is that Noah did not become discouraged and quit. I know a little bit about building and how much work is involved in constructing something as large, well, not as large as the ark was. I never worked on anything that big. But it reminds me of a commercial I saw. These giraffes walking up to this ark up here in Kentucky. And they look up there and it's so big and they just fall over. But I never worked on anything that big, but I know a little bit about the work that's involved in construction. I don't know the kind of construction that Noah did, because the construction that I participated in, we had power saws and we had lumber already planed, ready to be used. Noah didn't have that. He had to just go out and cut trees, split them, and hew the logs or the planks or whatever he used in the construction of the ark. A lot of work, day after day after day after day, for over 100 years. This continued. The only help he had was 3 boys. Now, their wives may have some, I don't know. But it was only 8 people enslaved in the ark. So if all 8 of them worked, there could have been a lot of discouragement in the building of the ark. But they did that which was required by God. Can you just imagine the ridicule that must have abounded by those people around Noah? As far as we know from Scripture, it had never rained on the earth before. There was a mist that came up and watered the earth. But God said it's going to rain. It's going to come a flood. Noah believed that. But these people around Noah had never seen anything like this before. We're in the midst of something today that we've never seen before. Never happened before. We've had some things that are similar back in our history, but nothing of the magnitude of what is ongoing at this particular time. What's going to be our attitude toward those things? And people may ridicule us for our maintaining our faith in God throughout all of this. I'm certain they did Noah, but Noah was faithful. Think about another example from the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 10. There in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 10, is a record of Joseph in Potiphar's house. You remember Joseph had been sold as a slave. He had been out taking care of his brothers, brought them supplies, and as a result of some of the dreams that Joseph had had, they were jealous of him, and some of them wanted to kill him. Others wanted to spare his life, and they eventually wound up selling him to a band of traders that came through. And as you read there in Genesis chapter 39, beginning at verse 2, it said, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Now, this is after Joseph had been sold by his brothers and down in a foreign nation, separated from all his family, all that he knew and held dear. But the Lord was with him. But that wasn't the end of his problems. His master's wife tried to get him to come and commit adultery with her. Potiphar realized the Lord was with Joseph, and he gave him charge of everything he had. In the passing of time, it's verse 7, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master knowing not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But she was persistent. She continued to tempt Joseph. And when she caught him alone in the house, he wouldn't give in to her advances and her desires. He ran out, leaving his coat. And she took his coat and falsely accused him. And he was put in prison. But in prison, the Lord was with him. He interpreted the dreams of the butcher and the baker. Not the butcher, but the baker and the cupbearer for the king. And it happened exactly like Joseph predicted it would through God's help. One was killed, the other restored to his place of work. But he did not remember Joseph. Joseph stood in prison. As time went by, this man remembered Joseph when Pharaoh needed someone to interpret his dream, and so he had Joseph brought out of prison. He interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. Now he's risen to a place of prominence in Pharaoh's house over all of Egypt. Think about a slave promoted to a place of great importance, faithful to the trust placed in him, instrumental in making his master great. Joseph could have had a real bad attitude. My brother sold me down here, and here I am. He just could be wallowing in self-pity. Then when his master's wife was attracted to him, he could have given in. He said, you know, I'm way down here away from family. Nobody's ever going to know about this but me and her. But he refused. Why? Because he was faithful to God. He knew what God would have him do. He resisted her advances. As a result, he was slandered in prison. But even in prison, he's faithful to God. People became aware of his faithfulness. He's finally made ruler over all Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Now, you can just imagine, if you just let your mind wander a little bit, you can imagine all of the problems that Joseph might have had during all this time, and how often he may have been tempted to give up because of all of his problems, all of his trials. Why is all this happening to me? I haven't done anything wrong. All I was doing was taking food to my brothers. I told them about the dreams I had. That's all I did. Tell them about what God had revealed to me, the dream. He, I believe, understood that it was God that revealed these things to him. Think about his attitude and what he could have done and what he could have said and how he could have responded to all the things that happened to him. But in all this, he remained faithful to God. As a result, God blessed him. And eventually, through God's blessings, he was able to bring his entire family to Egypt to protect them. And when his brothers were afraid, he said, "You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it to me for good, to preserve life." He was not bitter against his brothers because he understood that what had happened to him was for not only his benefit, but for the benefit of his family and the future of God's people from that point on forward. What about us today? We suffer a lot of things. We are tried. We have tribulations. How are we reacting to these tribulations that are placed upon us? Look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, there at verse 8. When Daniel was a young man, he was taken into Babylonian captivity. But he was a choice young man. He and some others, young men, among whom were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were able to learn. And so they were placed in a special position. As a result of being placed in this special position, he was given the portion of the king's food. But notice what Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 says. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You go on over to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign this writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that this writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel continued to serve the Lord. As we notice, as a young man, he was given a test of his moral convictions. He had to decide whether or not he was going to eat the king's food or not. The king's food would have included some things that were unclean. It was unlawful for him to eat. And so as a result of his desire not to participate in those things, he just decided not to eat the king's food, but to be just fed on bread and water. And told them, try me out for 10 days. And if we don't look any better than others, then you give us the king's food. By the end of that time, they were a fairer complexion and they were better looking from a fleshly standpoint than any of the others that were eating the king's food. He chose to eat bread and water rather than defile himself. God blessed him because of his choice. He's elevated to a high position in the kingdom. As an old man, he received a test of worship. When people couldn't find anything to accuse him of, from a moral standpoint, they said, well, the only thing we can accuse him of is that he worshiped God. Remember back in verse 5 of Daniel chapter 6? Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The only thing we can accuse him of is he's worshiping God. And so a decree was passed that no one could worship anyone but the king. We read there in verses 7 through 9. King Darius signed this law, this decree. And if you remember in the law of the Medes and the Persians, once the king had signed an ordinance, it could not be reversed. It was law from then on. But you'll notice that Daniel continued to worship as he always did. There we read in verse 10. When he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, knowing that when he's found out, he's going to be cast into a den of lions. And he was. He was cast into the lion's den, but he wasn't hurt. King Darius was remorseful. He stayed up all night praying that Daniel would be protected, that Daniel's God would protect him. And God did protect Daniel. In the morning, the lion's mouth was closed. Daniel hadn't been hurt. And those men who caused the decree to be signed were cast into the lion's den, and they were mauled to death. You see, Daniel passed both tests. What about us today? When our moral convictions are tested, and they are indeed tested every day, we got a one-eyed monster in our living room that tests our moral convictions every time you turn it on. It's almost impossible to find some programming that is fit for a Christian to watch. And sometimes we give in. We allow ourselves to watch things that we ought not. Our moral convictions are being tested. Sometimes we give in. Daniel wouldn't give in. Even though he had to just eat bread and water, he wouldn't give in. What about when we are tempted not to worship God? And we were discussing before the worship service began, some who are engaging in worship today. What they're referring to is virtual assembly. Now, I've got some thoughts of my own about that, and I'll not share them with you here, but if you want me to, I'll share them with you personally. These are decisions that Christians have made in response to this pandemic as a result of fear to some degree, and others as a result of the decision that have been made by civil authorities for them not to assemble. I believe this is a decision that each individual must make for themselves in regard to their responsibility to God. And whichever decision one makes, hopefully this is one that has been agonized over in regard to what the Scripture teaches us as God's children to do, and how we're going to respond to the consequences of those decisions. That's what Daniel did. He knew the consequences, but he served God anyway. And these people have not quit serving God. I'm not even suggesting that at all. They're doing their best to serve God. What are we going to do if our federal government says to us, you can no longer worship, you can no longer preach? I know what the apostles did. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Our civil government has not told us, you cannot worship or you cannot preach. Well, they said that you can't assemble unless it's in groups of 10 or less. I have some problems with those decisions that I'm going to have to come to grips with for myself. Each one must examine their own conscience in the light of God's word and answer those questions for themselves. We know that there were many early Christians who were faithful throughout persecution. The Scriptures are replete with examples of that. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak of the food. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night in the day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and faithfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Whose opinion, and I burn not? Paul suffered immensely. You can read about Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter. Stephen was stoned. As he's been confronted by this mob, you remember what he said? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears. You do always resist the truth, even as your father did so to ye. This is a statement he made to those who were his persecutors, those who eventually stoned him. Think about how he referred to them. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears. You're stubborn. You're not true to the Lord, to his will. You resist the truth, just like your fathers did. Not only condemn them, but condemn their ancestors, because they would not listen to the truth. You remember Peter and John. In Acts chapter 4, verse 17, the officials there said, but that it spread no further among the people, let us greatly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Which one's right? Hearken to God or to men? That's the question that we have to decide. Are we giving in to the dictates of men? Are we serving God? I can't condemn someone whose conscience tells them that because of the present distress that they need to stay at home. I can't say you're wrong in making that choice. They have to ask God for the choice that they made, not to me. What I'm suggesting is that we need to be careful in the decisions we make and examine our motivation, examine the decision we make in the light of God's Word. As you continue reading in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, it said, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and brethren and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, again, I want you to understand that I know that our civil government has not commanded us not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is not exactly parallel. I understand that. But what I'm suggesting to you is that the early disciples suffered tremendously because of their convictions to serve the Lord to the full extent of their capabilities. Those are some things that we need to give some serious thought to. As we noted in our study last Lord's Day, from Isaiah chapter 33, beginning in verse 5, stability is provided by the Lord. We noted that wisdom, knowledge, and salvation provide the stability needed to remain faithful. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Wisdom and knowledge provide the stability that enables us to face life. The knowledge of salvation. Salvation provided by the God of heaven through his Son Jesus Christ gives us the stability to face death. Whatever may be the cause, we can face death, knowing that we have something far better in heaven than anything this earth can provide for us. You'll notice the key to this stability, as we noted last Lord's Day, is the fear of the Lord, respect and reverence for his word. Those who lack stability in troubled times do so because they lack the wisdom, knowledge, and salvation that come from the Lord. And they lack these things because they do not have a healthy, proper respect and reverence for the Lord. The crying need in the Lord's church today is Christian men and women with conviction, who have the courage of their conviction. Matthew chapter 10, there verse 22, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We need consecrated, dedicated men and women who will be faithful even in trying circumstances. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The examples that we've looked at this morning all demonstrate a fear of the Lord. In whatever circumstances they found themselves, they had a healthy respect for God and for his word. Many, in their efforts to come to grips with what needs to be done and what ought to be done, have appealed to a number of sources. And these need to be considered. Love for brethren. Remember Jesus said, first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Many have gone back to the Old Testament and noted how God dealt with the disease of leprosy. The leper was quarantined outside the camp. But only the leper was quarantined. Not everybody in the camp was quarantined. So there's some thoughts that I think we need to consider as we think about the things that we're facing in the coming days and weeks and months. Revelation 2 and verse 10 simply says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee crown of life. Faithfulness to the Lord is of utmost importance. It's something that every individual must come to grips with in regard to their understanding of Scripture, in regard to their understanding of what God requires of them. It's an individual obligation. I can't decide for you, and you can't decide for me. Each one is responsible to God for himself. As we noted in our Bible study this morning, God is no respecter of person. But as Peter made the observation, in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Respecting and reverencing God, working righteousness. And that means doing what God requires of us. It may be that there are those in the audience this morning that realize that they have not been faithful in their service to God, and as a result need to make a public acknowledgement of that unfaithfulness and ask for forgiveness. It may be that there are those in the audience that have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins based upon your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, having turned from your sins and confessed your faith publicly, then you're not his child. It takes baptism. Paul's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The only way you can get in Christ is to be baptized into him. So if you're in this audience this morning and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing. The song's been selected for encouragement.